for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
So is this episode 105 we're recording today?
I can never remember those numbers.
After a while, it kind of blends. This must be what happens in old age. Kevin, you have no excuse for that because you are not old age.
Once the 100th episode happened, I stopped counting.
Well, I know. That took a lot out of us once we hit that 100th episode. Then we were kind of like, what? What is next? Oh, 101. Next? Yeah.
That's what we're fighting to, you know? We're fighting to the 100th episode, and now what are we doing?
We're here, and we have made it. So I think this is going to be, this is episode 105. It is November, and it is our November topic of the month, and a lot of things have happened in the month of November in the Commonwealth. And we are going to dig into that because this is a pretty hot topic right now. And we want to make sure that we get everybody the right information to help them understand what's happening and provide a little bit more support and guidance from the MassMEP side of things. So what better than to have two subject matter experts with us today returning for the podcast? I would like to welcome in our grants manager one, Lisa Derby-Oden. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hey, Haley, it's great to be here. I always love being with you guys.
It's exciting. It's been been quite a while, Lisa, since we've seen you.
I think it's been since COVID, right? I did some early on podcasts, but
yeah.
It's been a while since that.
Wow. So I'm glad we got you out from living under the rock and back into the podcast world.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And what better topic to have you in for than what we're going to talk about today. So glad to see you again. And we have with us our grants coordinator, Sarah O'Brien. She thought it was her first time doing a podcast, but it actually is her second episode. So welcome, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. I'm back, I guess. I didn't even know about the first time, but I'm back and ready to go. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So exciting. We love having you here. So, Sarah, because you weren't on the official standard podcast that we do, Kevin has an icebreaker question that he asks. And just so you know, I don't know what it is either. So I am going to be just as excited to hear this as you and Lisa are as well. So Kevin, without further ado, the floor is yours.
Perfect. So the icebreaker for this episode is, would you rather spend one day wearing wet socks or spend a week with a popcorn kernel stuck in your teeth?
Oh my gosh.
Popcorn kernel for me.
I would definitely say popcorn kernel. Wet socks is like, no.
I agree. A whole week of the popcorn kernel? Oh my God, that would drive me crazy.
My feet would get all blistered in those wet socks. I wouldn't be able to walk.
No.
I think I'm going to be the devil's advocate and pick the wet socks, honestly. I can't stand having the popcorn kernel in my teeth.
Hey, don't look for us to carry you around.
We'll see. I'll need some help from somebody.
I was going to make a joke there for a second. I was going to say, I think we already do. But I was like,
oh, my.
Oh, no.
Coming at me.
Oh my God. That's what those icebreakers are for, right, Kevin?
That's what they're for.
That was good. That was popcorn kernel. I'm with Lisa and Sarah. Sorry, Kevin, that Wow, I wonder if we went to a therapist and had that analyzed, what that would mean that you chose the wet socks over the popcorn kernel.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the
Or
day of
vice
the week,
versa.
you know? Yeah,
I guess.
true.
Oh my God, that's great. So we're here to talk about with the we'll get the elephant out of the room. The Workforce Training Fund and some big changes that have happened. This November 1st is when it all kicked off. We all got a notification slightly before that, but we feel at MassMEP it is part of our responsibility as a manufacturing extension partnership and working with the state as closely as we do to make sure that we find a way to provide some information to the audience about what's happening, maybe why it's happened, and where this comes from. So Kevin, I know you are going to kind of get this started because you've been with us almost 2 years now in February. And so grants is a little bit newer for you on your side of work. So I thought it would be good for you to kind of kick it off and get it going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too knowledgeable when it comes to the workforce training funds, but I just wanted to ask you guys and like kind of explain it to me like I'm 5 years old. All right.
We can do that.
All right. So what is the workforce training funds and where does it come from?
So the workforce training funds are funds, state funds that come from any company that pays into the unemployment system. There's tax funds in there allocated for the workforce training fund. Okay. So when you apply for one of these grants, in a way, you're sort of applying to get a little bit of your money back from what you've put into the unemployment taxes.
So, and I think we're unique, obviously, in the state of Mass in the Commonwealth. I always say state, it's actually the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We're very unique because of that. I do know that there are a lot of states that don't offer that. And so because that is so unique, they set it up. There's two different types of funding options, right, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay.
General grants and express grants.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go through this in two pieces because we don't want it to be confusing, especially with what's happened with the adjustments, because there has been another shift with numbers and size and all of those things when it comes to the manufacturers themselves. So let's break it down. Let's start with the general grant side of things. And then let's work through that. And then we'll bring in the express side and give some more information on that. So,
Yeah, so Lise, now that you kind of gave us a general explanation of what it is, can you give us a quick overview of the recent changes to the Workforce Training Fund program and the impact you anticipate for these companies for the general grant?
sure. First of all, I'd just like to say a little bit about the Workforce Training Fund itself, in that, the reason behind these changes, because I think that's important to know too. So, over the past few years, Comm Corps, who administers the Workforce Training Fund grants, has seen an unprecedented level of participation in these grants. They used to be sort of a best kept secret, and but during COVID, they really sort of blossomed, and so many companies learned about them that the demand for the grants became greater than the supply. So it's not that the tax funds that are going into it have been cut or anything like that. It's because they have more demand than they have supply. So they have adjusted the guidelines for both the general grant and the express grant as a result of that, because what they're wanting to do, since these funds come from and not just manufacturers across Massachusetts, but all employers across Massachusetts, they want to spread the funds back out to as many different companies as possible.
And if I may add to that, just to give some context too to the listeners. So previously, so compared to, just to give some numbers here, it was they had about $37 million during the pandemic for funding. So there was usually a lot left over in the pool. but lately it's been approximately 19 to 22 million. So they're kind of back to pre-pandemic. They're trying to stretch that funding, spread across more companies, but.
Okay.
With this whole grant process, the general grants, you can apply for them at any time that you want. Okay, so it's a rolling kind of application process and deadline. And so you can understand that if Commonwealth Corporation is making changes like this, there may be some people that are in the process of a grant. So, you know, how do the deadlines and things like that apply? So, in terms of that, if you are were applying for a grant and had your application open prior to November 1st at 5 p.m., you will be allowed to complete your application if you have it done by November 15th. And that will be under the old guidelines, which I'll talk about in a second. All right. If you didn't have an application open yet, then you have to wait till December 3rd. And I'll talk about that in a minute too. But so let's say that you already have a grant. It's already been awarded to you. And do these changes impact you in any way? They do not. All right. You are still going under the guidelines and the contract that you signed and are working under. Okay. So that all continues for you. You're grandfathered in. The other applications that were in process have to be submitted by November 15th. Otherwise, they have to start all over again in December 3rd under the new guidelines. There's a couple of reasons. The change, let me talk about the change in funding on that. Up until November 15th, the amount that you could apply for was $200,000 for a grant that would last you for 2 years. And then you would need to wait a year before you could reapply for another grant. They have dropped that down to 125,000. Okay. They also used to have a guideline of that your training cost per hour of instruction could not be over $350 per hour. That has been dropped down to 300 per hour, and they've also added another criteria of no more than 300, yeah, 300, sorry, that's the wrong number. No more than $3,000 per person per course, and more importantly, for the unduplicated headcount. So if you are applying for a general grant where you want to train 20 people overall, 20 times 3,000, that means that you're looking at a $60,000 grant and not more, even though the cap that you can apply for is 125. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a yeah, it is it's a lot. So obviously there's a window of time there, Lisa, that you're talking about. And we which I find it interesting the way that what they've titled it, they've called it the blackout period. So what is the purpose of that? Like why does that need to exist? Because of the transition, or is it because of like you're saying that there are other people that maybe had applications open? Why would they do something like that?
They did that for actually neither of the reasons that you just say, although it probably, you know, they probably timed it partly because of this as well. They actually are in the process of developing an entirely new online application, and they're getting that system up and running. So that time frame from November 15th to December 3rd is when they're making all their final preparations to launch that new application.
Okay, so if anybody didn't get an application in, weren't in the process, they have to wait until what's the date?
December 3rd.
December 3rd. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, the new application process will be up and running. So they'll get to experience a brand new application process online.
That's correct. And they have hinted that it should be a more simple experience for people than what is previously in there. So we're kind of excited to hear that. I guess we have to wait and see.
I know. Well, I was
Isn't
going
it
to ask.
funny the things you get excited about these days, right?
Right. I think, and I mean, in asking that too. So do you get like a sneak peek? Like, do we get any of that or no? That's just when it's released on December 3rd, it's released on December 3rd.
So, I'll let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
I'm going to help test the new application.
This is exciting. So we've got an insider here. We didn't even know this. Did you know this, Kevin?
I didn't know this.
This is exciting.
Don't tell
Shows,
anybody.
this
I
one knows
won't.
people. Yeah, this is just amongst the four of us, Lisa.
Yep.
Nobody else is going to hear this at all. Just tell us more. Tell us more. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Oh.
pretty excited about that, actually.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome that they're looking at doing that and making sure, because there have been plenty of other programs they've had in the past. Obviously, when I first started with Mass MEP back in 2019, we had the Small Business Development Access Program, or we called it
SPDAP.
SBAP. There we go. Exactly. And so I see that it could be, I'm starting to, I'm I don't want to say it's I'm starting to have flashbacks, but I almost am, like I'm feeling that a little bit as to where this is headed. But back then, I do remember, it's funny you say that about it being a best kept secret, because I remember you used to say people had no idea it existed. And
That's
then
right.
we would say to people, it's your money, like you're putting into it, you may as well use it back. And then
Right.
obviously COVID was the catalyst that kind of pushed people into moving forward with that. Are there, so we talk about, we have some, like, obviously we have these questions kind of written out, but are there any other important things that you think from the general grant side of things that you feel people need to know and understand for kind of wrapping their head around this now? Or are there any things that you would say to them if they have questions, where would you kind of guide them to?
Okay, so I'm going to have to compress all my answers into one here, which is fine. I can
Well,
do that.
you can give us a quick one and then we'll bring back this one, 'cause you've got a great answer, I know.
So one of the things that I know people might be curious about is have eligibility requirements been changed on these, right? So is there something different about that? And so these updates don't change eligibility. They just change the amount a company can be awarded. And so Comcor does a good job on their website. They have a whole list of eligibility. This is how you fit the eligibility. And so those are companies of any size may apply. Only organizations that contribute to the Workforce Training Fund are eligible to take part in this. You need a certificate of good standing from the Department of Revenue that's 6 months old or less. You also have to be in full compliance with all any other obligations to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, like Department of Unemployment, Department of Industrial Accidents, those kinds of things. Anybody who's been debarred from doing business with the Commonwealth is not eligible. And companies must be in operation with employees long enough to have had at least 2 full years of financial statements available for review. You don't have to provide those
Okay.
in the application. There are occasions where they've been asked for subsequently, though. So you just have to be aware of that.
Okay.
And the whole thing, too, about the grant is a 2-year grant. When that's done, then there's a 1-year wait period, and you can start again then. The thing that's great about the general grants, of course, is that you can use a training provider of your choice. And Sarah will talk a little bit about the difference with the Express Grant as far as that goes, because in the Express Grant, you have to pick out of the directory. But there are certain things, even though you can get the training provider of your choice, there are certain things that they will not fund, such as like some of the OSHA training or things that are considered to be the cost of doing business, right? Those you'd have to do that whether you got funding or not. So they aren't going to fund those for you.
Okay. All right, so Most important things. So it went from 200,000. It's now at 125, which is still a good portion of money that is still
Yep,
available.
definitely.
Absolutely. It's at 125. There is a blackout period. So if you were started an application prior to November 1st, you have until November 15th to submit it. If you haven't started an application after of November 1st on, you will now have to wait until December 3rd. Was I right?
Yes.
I don't even have that in front of me. I got the dates correct. That's amazing. Mark it down. I'll forget that I'm supposed to make dinner later, but I just remembered that. Great. So though I would say those are probably the most important things that, they can really kind of adjust to. I think we were at an event one day when this came out, and we were with a manufacturer. And at the time, they kind of panicked a little bit and said, "Oh, we had all these trainings plans, and now I don't think we can do all of these programs." And I think it's not that at all. It just might have to be a little bit more strategic in how you're planning on doing it. And there just might be a little bit more skin in the game, which we'll kind of, get to that at when we kind of cl close out as to what will be for from the manufacturer or any small business that operates in the Commonwealth that has a viable certificate of good standing within 6 months and
And
pay.
that pays into the workforce training fund. Yeah. So some tips that I would, provide is that in order to really do a good application, that you need to develop a training strategy, which is what you're talking about. And again, Sarah will talk about the Express in a minute, but you might be looking at both of those grants and going, well, how do I know which one and that kind of thing. But one of the things that you need to understand about both of these grants really is that the company investment into their training strategy is part of this, that companies need to be willing to invest in their own company. And they're going to determine which grant best suits their current training needs, depending on company size. That'll be one of the elements that gets into it. But thinking about what do you need now and in the short term for training, and what do you need over the course of the next 2 years, right? That's one element that will help you sort of figure that out about whether you want to do an express grant or a general grant. And if you do a general grant now, you may be able to make use of the express grant during the 1 year waiting period, depending on your company size again. And if you don't have that available to you, and even if you do, that's a good time also to provide private investment into training during that waiting period.
Perfect. Okay. All right, Sarah, you're up. Let's talk about the Express Grant. All
Okay, let's do it.
right, Kevin, you're gonna have to remind her what you just talked about because that was a lot of information we just had to take in on a general grant side of things.
So, Sarah, in the point of view from the Express Grant, can you give us a quick overview of the recent changes, to the Workforce Training Fund?
Some of the recent changes have been for the Express program, there is now a per hour cap on the training per hour. It has been set to $300. And this is an entirely new guideline for the Express. We have in the past always seen a cap of the 350 per training hour with the general grant. But the $300 cap is new. And any businesses that apply, you would be responsible for covering any, instructional cost beyond that $300. And then in terms of reimbursement amounts, those have changed. It is dependent upon how many Massachusetts W-2 employees a company currently has. So any companies that have up to 50 employees are eligible for 100% reimbursement, and that's for a total of $15,000, which was previously 20,000, so they dropped that as well. And then companies with anywhere from 51 to 100 employees can receive half or 50% reimbursement up to the $15,000 annually.
Okay.
And then any companies that have over 100 are just sort of geared to work with the general grant in that case.
Okay, so Sarah, can you explain a little bit too? Like Lisa had said earlier, obviously with a general grant, she said that you can choose any provider. Can you explain what Lisa was referring to when she said about choosing from the Express Grant catalog?
Yeah, so with the Express applications, if you can't just pick any sort of provider that you want. There is a specific Express Grant directory that lists pre-approved training providers and pre-approved courses, specific courses and providers that you have to choose from. I will say if you have a provider or a training course that you are like, hey, I really would like to use funding for this. They're not in the Express directory yet. You can certainly ask them to see if they would be willing to put their course or become a provider in the Express Grant directory to see if you can utilize some of the funding that way too.
Okay. All right. So it went from it's $15,000 again.
Yes.
Still a good chunk of money that somebody can use, right? That, for the investment. It is 0 to 50. How did you say that language, Sarah? I like the way you said that about the W-2 employees.
Yeah, so they have to be Massachusetts W-2 employees in order to apply
Okay.
or be considered trainees that are eligible for the reimbursement. So companies with up to 50 Massachusetts employees, those are the companies that are eligible for the 100% reimbursement of the 15,000.
Okay, perfect. And then 51 to 100 is a 50%
Yes,
reimbursement.
50% reimbursement up to the 15,000.
Okay. And then, so if we were to break this down in just a basic 5-year-old language, 100 employees and above, basically general grant. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All
Or
right.
private investment.
Yeah,
I
or
love it.
that.
Which we're going to get into that too, right? Right.
Yeah.
This one's full of all kinds of great knowledge over here. I love this. Great, great information. Okay. And then it was just the adjustment. What are we applications? Lisa, you talked about the new application process. Is it the same application they go through? Is it a different
No.
application? Different. Okay.
Yeah, they're two very different applications. The general grant is much more I guess I would say like time consuming for the companies.
Yeah. In
The
depth. Yeah.
in-depth time consuming, there's a lot more strategy that goes into it, a lot more strategic planning between the BDAs, grants team, and the company. The Express Grant is obviously called Express for a reason. It's an application that is about 15 to 30 minutes. So it's and it requires less time, less paperwork, and things of that nature. So it's definitely a much quicker application than the general grant.
Okay. All right. So
One of the differences, though, between those applications, right? The general grant, because it's more in depth, you can go in and enter information and hit save, and it'll save, and you can leave the application, go back to your job, do a bunch of stuff, and come back, and then pull the application open and continue to fill it out. With the Express Grant, you have to fill it out all in one sitting. It does not save.
And
Okay.
you have to basically, there's a list of paperwork that you would have to collect prior to, going to submit the application because you can't, like Lisa said, you can't save it and go back to it. So you have to have your certificate of good standing up, when you're ready to go. Also, they do require a W-9, so you do need to have that prior to filling out the application along with, how many full-time and part-time people your company has, and all of that information right up front.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's a lot of information, a lot to take away from this. But I think that's a great overview. So good work, Sarah, in letting everybody know the difference. I think if I was walking into a manufacturer that was 100 employees or less, I would definitely say, use the Express Grant and take care of it, and jump in. And we do not have, we're just gonna, we need to make sure we go through this. There is no blackout period for the,
No.
okay.
No blackout period for the Express. It's the same applications. And they haven't done any, new application changes or anything like that, like they are doing with the general grant. The one thing I will say is just for companies to keep in mind with applying is just that there is a 21-day waiting period from when you submit to when you are allowed to start training. So that's very important. A lot of companies, either they're maybe not aware of it or they forget. So it's very important in order to get reimbursed for the training, you must wait that at least that 21 days before you start any training.
Sarah, could you share some practical tips or some commonly overlooked steps that companies should keep in mind throughout the application process?
Yeah, so I would say that's definitely one of them. The 21-day waiting period is definitely high on the list, and just having a training date, after that 21-day contract period, having a date in mind of when you maybe do want to start the training. This can always be changed by, just reaching out to the General Express email box. So if changes happen down the road, certainly they understand that and it can be easily fixed in the contract. But yeah, I would say that is primarily the biggest thing, and to have all of the paperwork up front, and to also know that we're here to help too. So Mass MEP, like, we are happy to walk companies through the Express application. We've been doing that for quite some time, and a lot of companies are like, wow, that was easy. We're so thankful because we would not have filled it out that way. So yeah, just knowing that we're here to help, and in any way possible, we're happy to do that.
Lisa, same kind of question to you. Do you have any tips or overlooked steps that companies should keep in mind, in terms of the general grant?
Yeah, so one of the things is like, I live my life in grant land, right? So I'm used to writing grants and knowing about how complete answers need to be and things like that. And people working in these companies, well, heck, their priority is doing their job and running their business and that kind of thing. So sometimes they provide answers that are very simplified. And so companies need to remember that the reviewers don't know who they are and don't know their acronyms and that kind of thing. So they need to provide responses that a stranger could understand, because that's, the reviewer may be a stranger. You don't know. Quantifying the impacts that the training is going to have on your company is really critical. This is a workforce training fund grant, so they definitely want to know that the projects will result in job retention, job growth, and increased wages. They also want to know how the project is going to make a difference in the company's productivity, competitiveness, and ability to do business in Massachusetts. And last but not least, of their three top criteria, are to make sure that the applicant has made a commitment to provide significant private investment in training for the duration of the grant and after the grant has expired, right? So I've kind of thrown in that private investment there a few times today. And so you want to make sure that you're addressing those three key areas in detail. You only want to ask for the funding that you can actually implement in 2 years. You don't want to just go for the full amount. And as I stated with the criteria before, they're not going to award you the full amount unless you can demonstrate that you have that number of unduplicated employees anyway. The other thing that I want to remind people about is, Commonwealth Corporation is a smart group of people, and they know that things can change over a 2 year time frame, which is what this grant is for, right? And so there is a change request process. So as things are going along, if you applied for one thing and you go, that's not really, we don't really need that anymore, but what we need is blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a process in place that you can ask for a change request to be made. So I think that those are like the key things that I would talk about.
Awesome.
So before we start to kind of wrap this up, I think we had a meeting at the beginning of the week and we kind of dug into it a little bit more. And one of my big, most critical takeaways that I took from our conversation was, and we've said it a couple of times as well, is that's still an investment. So you're still able to apply for these grant funds, which we said at the beginning, not every state makes this possible for these businesses to be able to capture this kind of back into their own investment. And so even though it may not be the numbers that it was when, it's still funding that's
Oh,
still
significant.
available.
Right.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. So yes, you may, and some of these companies may have to put also some of their own funds into it as well, right? But that return on that investment could be exponential. So, and that's where, I think it's still there, it's still available, and there's still these opportunities. So we have to keep the focus on that. And then, I would ask you to kind of give what are your most critical takeaways that you want companies to understand? Lisa, I know you have something that's a great, it's going to hit home pretty good. So, what is that?
Well, again, just to remember that this is now a very competitive process. And so you really need to prepare an application that reflects you that you understand that. And you also really need to demonstrate your willingness to invest in your own training as well. And
Yes.
some of that's going to be made up by if training costs more than $300 per hour, that you're asking for the 300, but you're willing to pay the difference on that, the additional training cost, right? So that's one way that that happens.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, we, Sarah, you said you made a great point. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we have the subject matter experts on hand. We get, Kevin and I see a lot of requests that'll come through from manufacturers because we're a manufacturing extension partnership. So we obviously work with the manufacturers in the state, but we are a great resource. And we do answer questions. And we feel because we are a manufacturing extension partnership, it is our responsibility to help the manufacturers in any way possible, even if it's something as simple as, we just have a question. Can you answer it for us? Yes. We are always, our doors, our phones are always ready to go and open our emails, like ask the questions and we'll be able to provide you, the answers. Even if you choose to do it on your own or whatever it may be, we'd be happy to help. And I think one of the other pieces that we always talk about is, and you made a point of this at one conversation, Lisa, we talked about, having actually, I think it was Sarah, so you and Sarah maybe spoke to this, both of you did, that we are there as we're kind of there on the side to help, right? We're there to help, but we don't do it for
Right.
them, correct? So we and so explain if you can the reason why we say it that way, Sarah.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, Mass MEP, we're like you said, we're here to help. We want to make sure that, companies are in the best place to ensure that they, are in the best possible position to receive the funding that they're eligible for. So, but we also, we want them to be just as invested as we are in them. So just making sure that they kind of understand that it's their applications, whether it be for the general grant or the express grant. We're there to help. We can walk them through the express grant application, but we want them to really understand what they're applying for. And I guess that would be another kind of thing that is commonly overlooked with the express grant too, is just having them double check the contracts too when they come in, making sure that those are all as they want them to be. Is the correct training, the correct number of people, to be able to get the reimbursement and things like that. So we just want to make sure that they're just as invested as we are.
Perfect. I like it. I like it. Do you have anything else that we didn't cover that you think would be really important information that they should know before we wrap up for the episode?
I think we covered it all.
Yeah. Lisa, you think so too?
Yeah, I think so too. I think you did a good job, Haley, of pulling all those answers right out of us. You and Kevin both, right?
Yep.
I guess the only other thing would be for us to let people know how they can get in touch with us, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kevin, how do people get in touch with us?
Well, you can just go through our website, go to the contact us and reach out to us with whatever inquiries that you may have. We can put that link in the bio of this episode. But yeah, please, we definitely want you guys to reach out with any questions. There are no dumb questions, that's for sure. So reach out.
I think even in the when you do the contact us on the form on our website, which is new and has only been in life for almost a month now. It's almost a month. So don't mastmep.org. Where you can actually choose an option for what you want to connect with us on. Mm-hmm. You can actually choose the option for grants. It says training grants in there. So when you select that, and then that way when it comes in, we know what you're going to be asking the questions of. But yep. two places on our website. So yeah, you're right. So thanks, Lee. See, you pulled those questions out of us.
There we go.
There we go. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Thanks for all the insight and knowledge. And obviously, people will now know who they'll be working with. And Kim Hunter is our other colleague that's not in here with us that works in the grants team as well. So by listening today, you obviously now know we do have subject matter experts that will be able to help you walk through this. So I learned a ton today. So thanks for doing that for us too. It's great for us because we do get questions sometimes when we go and we have to talk to the manufacturers at events. So this is going to be a pretty hot topic, I think, for a while until we get into the new year. And so we can now knowledgeably answer those questions. So thank you both very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yes,
well, pleasure to be here.
For having us.
You got it. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks everyone for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.